Hello everyone, Selena here. Before we start the show this week, I just want to caution you that this episode does have a few audio issues that you'll probably notice. Pam was talking to us via her phone, which had really bad reception at times, and being the half-genius that I apparently am, I realized halfway through the show that she could record her audio on her computer, which I could then cut in later, meaning that you guys could actually hear what she was saying, even though we could not. So, you know, it does end up being a little bit of a mixed match of sounds, but I think it'll be fine. I've done my very best to make it as smooth of a listening experience for your ears as I possibly could. So I hope you enjoy the show, and we can all just agree that technology can sometimes be a pain in the backside. All right, let's do this. Welcome to Hype, episode 49. My name is Selena, and I am back this week with Kyle and Pamela. Hello! Woo!
Hi!
Another three-person panel. I hope everyone is okay with that. I think it's nice and quaint.
It's homely.
It is homely. It is. It's you know, more intimate and more relaxed, and I don't need to worry about impressing Andrew with my hosting skills. I was just this is my fandom story of the week. I was just on MuggleCast yesterday, and those guys, man, that's a machine. It's crazy. I like it though.
I bet. They're like the season pros.
Mm-hmm. I've been on the show a couple of times, and every once in a while I'll run into someone who's like, yeah, you know, I'm a big MuggleCast fan. I listen to it all the time. I'm like, oh, so did you hear me on it? And they're like, what? No.
So you know what's really funny is, like, I always forget how big that show is, but then the other day I was over by the downtown Disney area and I saw somebody wearing a MuggleCast shirt. And what? The only reason I looked at it was because I was like, oh, that looks like Harry Potter-esque. And then I took a closer look and I was like, that's so funny. Like, they're everywhere. Like, obviously, I'm sure they know that they're fans everywhere. But it's just, like, a random, like, out of context, like, oh, hey, I know the guy that does that show.
That's so awesome. Random. That's really awesome.
It's pretty funny.
So before we get started properly, I guess we're already kind of started. It's a soft lunch of episode 49. Did I just say soft lunch? I think this shows how hungry I am.
And it's torturing me.
Soft lunch. That's soft very restaurant oriented. Yes. I think that'll feed into your topic.
Interesting. Yeah. But before we get into that, I just want to remind everyone really quickly that Hype obviously is Hypeable.com's flagship podcast, the show about all the biggest entertainment news stories from the past week. We bring you movie news and TV news and book news and music news. Maybe, now that Pam is on. And Hypeable is, of course, hypable.com. We also have a Twitter account, which is @HypeableHype. And we'd really like it if you followed us. And also, if you would like to help us promote the show, then please tweet out a link with the latest episode to your followers. And also maybe head into iTunes to rate us and review the show. We would really appreciate if you guys did that, because we are trying to spread the word. So thank you in advance for all of your help. And our first segment of the day is How We Hype, which is where we check in with everyone and see what they've been up to fandom-related from the past week. And as Pam kind of alluded to, mine is super outdated, but it's literally all I've done fandom-related. I watched Chef, which is a movie about food. Jon Favreau directed, I think, and starred in it. And I guess the general fandom connection here is Jon Favreau obviously directed Iron Man as well, with Robert Downey Jr., who does have a role in the movie. Scarlett Johansson is also in the movie. And then after I watched Chef, I started watching Thanks for Sharing with Mark Ruffalo, which also stars Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my goodness.
And it's all just Marvel, guys. They've taken over the world, and, like, we didn't even notice. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I went to the movies this weekend, and I did not see Mad Max Fury Road, but Pitch Perfect 2, and I think it lived up to the first one, which is what I think everybody was kind of, because the first movie was such a big hit. that I'm wondering, like, oh my god, is Pitch Perfect 2 going to be like as funny? Are they going to bring it? This is not. And I really enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of laugh out loud moments, and the music, of course, was really great. And also, I think we have this up on Hypeable, but the after credits sequence was really, really funny. Enjoyed that. Mm. So,
well, do you know when it comes out in Denmark?
July.
You know what? I saw
in
your
August.
Tweet. August 8th.
Yeah.
What?
I know. It's insane.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. Sorry to open up old wounds.
Well, that's stupid. I finally saw the Avengers, like 2 weeks late, I think.
Oh my god! What did you think?
Everyone else. It was good. It was good.
That's it? That's all you got?
It wasn't like, I don't know, guys. It didn't like floor me.
Really?
It didn't floor me. Oh. There was a point where when that thing person lifts the thing person that you didn't expect him to lift, and then everyone in the audience went, oh, you, can I just say it then?
Oh, yeah, you can say it. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Okay, when Vision lifted Thor's hammer, everyone in the audience just gasped.
Yeah, I gasped. It was amazing.
Everyone was just like, oh, what? Like, it was so hysterical. But, like, I don't know. I like the movie a lot. I think as a film, it was really cool. It was really, like, there was so much emphasis on Hawkeye. I was very confused.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know we have a podcast up already discussing this entire movie, but it didn't floor me. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a great movie. Not my favorite Marvel.
I just thought it was so funny. Like, that's it. That's all I thought. Like, I had no opinion on the characters, really, or on, like, anything.
Funnier.
Yeah, it was, but this one had, it had some really good moments. And whenever you say Hawkeye, by the way, it sounds like you say hot guy, which is hilarious.
<Maybe accurate>.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to the news now. Our first story is one that I have absolutely no idea why this is news, because I don't know anything about this, but apparently that makes me out of the loop because this is a big deal. So do you want to set that one up, Pam?
Yes. Well, you are out of the loop, but that's okay because I'm in the loop and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about this story. Pretty much 90s fans kind of went into a tizzy about this one. The Craft, which is the popular cult classic movie about teen witches that learn about their powers and just how dangerous it can all be, is getting a reboot. So this movie stars Neve Campbell, which I know you're familiar with, mm-hmm. Selena, so at least you've got that tie going. And Leigh, I don't really know how to pronounce her name, to be honest with you, but I'm going to guess it's Leigh Janiak, is set to direct the reboot that's going to be released by Sony Pictures. And she just released the 2014 movie Honeymoon, which I did not see, but apparently it starred Game of Thrones actress Rose Leslie. And it's going to be interesting for sure, because this movie is still very much beloved, and also kind of, I feel like every couple of months I see new people on my Twitter feed, like, rediscovering it or discovering it for the first time. So it's not like it's necessarily, like, kind of just gone away. So it's definitely an interesting choice for them to pick. But I guess it's not really out of the ordinary, considering that we're so ingrained into the supernatural right now, as far as, like, pop culture goes. So a movie
and
about
remakes.
Teen witches, and Outcasts is really not out of the ordinary. But Kyle, have you ever seen this movie?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorites. One of my favorite movies ever, and I'm really excited.
So how do you feel about this?
You are excited.
I
was gonna say, is there anybody that you can kind of envision being like recast in the remake?
Oh man,
or not recast, just like cast in general. Because like this is what I've been thinking about: is like, who are they gonna get to play these characters?
I know. I was thinking, like, I know, like, this, it's a fandom choice, but I think Jennifer Lawrence would be amazing in one of these roles. I don't know. People are kind of sick of Jennifer Lawrence, but she's astounding, and she's too big for it, obviously. Yeah. But I was, like, just thinking about, like, which actresses I would personally like. I would like to see her do it. Obviously, she won't, but if they could get any of the Charmed actresses to come back and, like, play any of these roles, I would die. I would die. Like, if Alyssa Milano played any one of these. But they're too old. I'm thinking of, like, women, like adult women, not like high school people. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be like Ariana Grande or some shit like that. Sorry.
No, please don't.
But that's nice. It's interesting. People seem to be excited. Like, people seem to be genuinely excited about a remake, which is a good thing, because there is a general sort of remake fatigue going around, I think. So, cool. Next up, we have a Star Wars story, or rather a Star Wars Rogue One story. The first anthology film, sort of a spin-off of the main trilogy, has cast Diego Luna as a major character. He doesn't have a name yet, but he'll be playing a rebel fighter alongside Felicity Jones and Riz Ahmed. And Ben Mendelsohn is playing the villain in the role. Sam Claflin has also been rumored to appear in this, but he hasn't been cast yet, so we're still waiting to hear. But you might know Diego Luna from Y Tu Mama Tambien or Milk, which is kind of cool, or Elysium. He's had some pretty big roles, so this is exciting.
Yay, Star Wars.
I'm a big fan of Diego Luna. I think he's a really great actor that is kind of like, I think he's one of those guys that's a little underappreciated because he's just kind of there. And like, people usually know him as like, oh, that guy. Because he's one of those guys that like, people might not recognize the name, but you'll recognize his face. And for that aspect alone, I'm really excited. Yeah, I mean, like, this new Star Wars situation is just really coming together quite nicely for Disney, I think. So at this point, it's just kind of like, it's their game to lose, and I'm just going to reserve judgment to see until the movie comes out, I think, or the movies come out. So I don't know. That's just my two cents. But yeah, as far as, like, Diego Luna goes, like, he could pretty much act in anything, and I would go see it. So
from one big franchise to another big franchise, there's some Hunger Games news, finally.
Yes. Well, kind of ish. There's a new poster, hey. So
but
that's
we
awesome.
Haven't seen anything for so I know. Long.
It's like, and see, given that this film premieres in November and like we haven't seen like a teaser trailer or anything, it's nice to get a new poster. I'm really excited because it depicts Katniss and Prim, and those who've read the books were probably like really excited.
Yeah, it's a very important
relationship
for sure.
Yeah, and I'm stoked for it. Although, like, I have to say, like, I have no idea what the heck Prim is wearing because she looks like a grandma.
Yeah, it's weird.
It looks really, really weird.
Alternate reality fashion is strange.
Yeah, it's very odd. It literally looks like one of my grandma's dresses. So, but it's exciting.
It is.
Andrew is speculating that hopefully a trailer might come at the end of with like the Tomorrowland movie, but some people are thinking that it could come with the Tomorrowland movie. I don't think so. I think it'll come with a movie more at the end of summer or like in July.
And Tomorrowland is premiering next Friday, right?
Yeah, in a week. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, cool. We'll have to look out for that. It has to come soon. You know, one of those small teasers, like not just the logo, but something. I think that's a good bet, Tomorrowland.
We've got some X-Men news as well for you guys. And also, this will be rather exciting for people who were fans of The Fault in Our Stars and enjoyed the cinematography in that, because director Josh Boone has been tapped to helm the new Star Wars film, which is going to be called The New Mutants. So the thing about this story is that we don't know very much about which X-Men it's particularly going to focus on. And all we know is that the movie will be based on the X-Men comics group made up of The New Mutants, which features a new crop of characters born with special powers. So yeah, pretty much like that's all we know, but the possibilities are endless, and at least we know that the movie will be in good hands, with Josh Boone. But, you know, to be honest with you, I've only ever seen him do, The Fault in Our Stars and then, another indie, like kind of a dramatic love story. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does with, something that's a little bit more action packed and of the superhero realm. So do you guys have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm sort of excited in a muted kind of way because part of me is going, another spin-off, another X-Men, a new heroes with new power, you know? But at the same time, I really enjoy X-Men, and I really think that there's a lot of untapped potential. I think Hollywood right now is just sort of realizing that there's this completely untapped resource of comic book stories, and they're just making their way down the list, and we're going to get this for another 20 years until they've run out of stories. So I think this is cool. I'm glad they've got Josh Boone on board, because it sort of tells me that it might be a little bit more personal. You know, a lot of these superhero stories do tend to get very action heavy and formulaic. So I like it. I think it's cool. I wish that all the new X-Men, like the younger version, like Sophie Turner and those people that they cast for Apocalypse, could carry on to this one, but I guess it's going to be a totally new team. But cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to point out that he's also co-writing the script. So there's a lot kind of resting on his shoulders. But yeah, he's definitely like this kind of like supernatural vein is something that he's going to be going forward with, because he's also going to be directing The Vampire Chronicles, which of course is based on the Anne Rice novel. And he's also doing a Stephen King novel rendition of The Stand. So
he's busy.
Yeah, he's a busy man. And it's definitely going to be a fun couple of years for him. And we'll obviously be watching and waiting and all that good stuff. And of course, bringing you guys the news first.
Yeah, of course. So, and staying on the topic of superheroes, this one, I think, is one of the biggest stories of the week. Just the day after we recorded our last episode, the first trailer for CBS's Supergirl hit, and it wasn't just the trailer, it was a 6-minute long trailer that summed up basically the first episode of the show. Last week we spoke a little bit about the synopsis for the show, which had us all a bit worried, but now that the trailer has hit, I think everyone is just excited. This looks so good. Do you guys agree?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that much for the enthusiasm.
I was going to say, I think everybody was just so surprised that this was so good, because everybody was expecting it to be so bad, you know?
For sure.
But yeah, it definitely looks amazing, and I'll be tuning in for sure. Hopefully it lives up to how awesome the trailer is. That's what I'm always worried about, because then I feel like I get so excited, and then sometimes you're like, oh.
I feel like the trailer was too good. Like it was, it just gave us too many first looks, I think. Instead of being like a minute long or like 2 minutes long, it's like 6 minutes long, and like we already know that like all these things about her, and we already know that she's going to tell her best friend about herself, which could have been a major plot point, like awesome reveal kind of thing. But then we already saw that like iconic scene, and we already saw like her saving someone for the first time. We already saw her attempt to like jump up and fly for the first time. Like there are too many reveals, I think, in this trailer.
I don't mind that at all, because I think, I mean, this trailer obviously is not going to be watched by your average TV viewer. So I don't think the fact that it's so long and gives so much away is going to impact ratings at all. And I think because it's not coming until the fall. So I think that us seeing so much and seeing so much of her and her journey sort of in this abbreviated format, I honestly think it was a really good move. I'm pretty sure they did the same for Arrow or Flash. And obviously that didn't hurt anything. So I get what you're saying, that it feels like we've already seen the episode. But honestly, it comes so far in advance, and it does sort of inspire confidence. Like Pam was saying, it does show that this is much better than people were expecting it to be. So in that sense, I think it was a good move. You know what my favorite part of the trailer, I'm just gonna totally fangirl here, Jimmy Olsen, oh my god. I love him. It's amazing. I already ship it. God's sakes, that happened fast. I'm so excited to see that sort of and that's another thing that people are talking about with this. Obviously this is a totally girl power, women empowered sort of show. And I really like the idea that we've got the super girl who's totally unapologetic about the fact that she's a superhero. And then we've got this guy who's clearly going to be her love interest. And he's sort of the role that a female character would normally take. You know, it is kind of like a gender switch from a show like Arrow. So I really like that. I think that's just really genius. And obviously Calista Flockhart's little speech about taking back the word girl. There's so much to like about this. And Melissa Benoist, I still can't say that, Benoist, just sparkles with the kind of energy that I just think is fantastic. So I'm 100% going to watch this. And like Pam, I hope it doesn't let me down.
I hope that it's like really good and then like the audience across the globe doesn't let us down either, because it would be so sad for the show to be so good and then nobody to tune in.
Yeah.
You know, and then have it be dropped.
It is on
I hate
network.
When that happens.
Yeah, it's on a network. It's also not on something like the CW, which particularly caters to shows like this. And also, it's kind of a big gamble. Like, it's so sad to say that, but it is, because it's a female-led superhero show, and we don't have that right now, and we desperately need it. So everybody should tune in to watch the premiere.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, again, I mean, people are saying, you know, the line in the trailer, like, that it's not a man. And I saw that. I was like, I can't believe they have to say that. But then I thought, well, they do have to say that. So, yeah, I really hope this does well, and I really hope people aren't going to be, like, caveman-ish about it and be like, oh, she's a woman, she can't be a superhero. Whatever, screw that.
Yeah. Also, like, just as a side note, Melissa Benoist is, of course, like, I think a lot of people were introduced to her via Glee, but just seeing, like, the different projects that she's been involved in, like, over the years in terms of like indie movies and like major movies, even if she had a smaller role, like she's such a good actress. Like, I can't believe that they got her, you know, for Glee, because I almost feel like Glee was so beneath her talents by the time that she came in that I'm going to alienate so many people. But yeah, it's really cool to see. It's really cool to see her in like a starring role, because I feel like the couple of movies that I've seen with her in it, like the most recent one that stands out is The Longest Ride, which of course was based off the Nicholas Sparks movie. Like, even though she had a small role in it, she totally like steals the scenes that she's in. So it's going to be really cool to see her in a starring role.
That's interesting. That makes me even more excited. That's awesome.
Well, there's one TV show that I think doesn't look as good as Supergirl. Scream Queens. And I have to say, from the very beginning, I was very cautious about this entire premise, just because it's Ryan Murphy. I don't really trust Ryan Murphy. Mm-hmm. I trust him to bring a good show, but then I know that he's going to probably twist that show and like turn it into something else like two or three seasons in.
I wonder what you're talking about.
I don't know. But with this, it looks like he already twisted it in, like, with the first, like, season, because it's just, it doesn't, I don't know, is this a comedy? Is this supposed to be a comedy? Is this supposed to be, like, a serious, like, actual horror film? I can't tell what it is. Leah Michelle looks ridiculous in her
She looks like
brains.
A cartoon character. It's so weird.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, Ariana Grande looks like Ariana Grande. She does not look like a character.
But maybe that's the point. Like, maybe it's supposed to be kind of dumb. Like, in a funny way.
I don't know. Maybe Ryan Murphy has like, just incurred, like, he's found himself in that he can't make a serious TV show, so, like, on Fox, so he's just going to make it ridiculous and hysterical, you know?
But then again, I mean, I'm not to compare, because I have no base for that, because I haven't seen anything of it, but isn't that kind of like Gallivant's premise? Like, I know it had really good music, but wasn't it supposed to be really like a kind of parody? And the Muppets, I mean, that's kind of dumb as well, you know, in a
that's
funny
true.
Way.
Yeah, no, that's true. It just, it's going to be really interesting. It's just, I really want to know why Ariana Grande looks like Ariana Grande, I think. I want to see like what her style choice is.
It can be fun. Are you gonna tune in?
Oh yeah, I'll tune in for the first episode for sure.
Yeah, I think I will too. Yeah. Veering back into the realm of superheroes, we've got another TV movie, not TV movie, a bit of TV news for you guys. So the CW also released a trailer for their upcoming Arrow Flash spinoff show called Legends of Tomorrow. And I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to watch the trailer yet, but it's really cool, and I'm definitely a lot more excited for it.
Arthur Darvill's in this.
Originally.
And he plays a Time Master.
Yes, okay, so...
Yes, that is the best part. He plays a time-traveling rogue. So yeah, so before we get too ahead of ourselves, I was definitely excited about that as well. So pretty much what goes down in this show is that Arthur Darvill comes in and he plays this time traveler named Rip Hunter, who's really kind of distraught with the way the world has become. So he travels back in time to assemble this ragtag team of superheroes and villains to kind of save the planet and all of time itself. And in order to do that, they must work together to just kind of rid the world of evil. And of course, fans that watch both The Flash and Arrow are going to see a lot of familiar faces in this show. So it's going to be really cool. And kind of like Supergirl, they released a really long trailer. So you get a really good feel for what this show is going to be about. It's like it clocks in at almost 4 minutes. So I guess this is a new kind of trend in order to try and sell upcoming pilots with networks and stuff. But it's definitely working because I'm excited.
I'm so excited. Like, when Katie Lotz was signed up for this, I was like, what the heck? I'm so confused because anyone who watches Arrow or The Flash knows that Katie Lotz's character, like, died. And so everyone was like, is she going to play another person? What's going on? And when they revealed what was happening with that, I was like, okay, that's awesome. That's epic.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited, like, I'm so excited for the show as a whole just because I'm super stoked to see what kind of people they fight and how the show manages itself. But I'm also really excited for the tie-ins that this is going to mean for The Flash and for Arrow. With all these characters so involved in both series, I think next season is going to be really, really interesting for all three shows just to see, like... I can't talk. It's going to be amazing.
Guys, I'm like, all these shows are giving me so much anxiety because I don't have time to watch all The Flash and all The Arrow and all The Legends of Tomorrow and all this stuff that all ties in together. And it's too much.
I know.
It's too much of a commitment.
The first thing I thought of was, I really need to catch up on Arrow now. But yeah, I mean, like, in general, if you're interested in upcoming shows coming to, like, the CW, and we're going to talk about some more CW news later.
Oh, yeah. On in the show.
But, yeah, like, the upfronts this year in New York City, like, they released a bunch of new trailers, including one for Julie Plec's new show, which is called, I think it's called Containment. So yeah, so there's like a lot of new trailers out for TV. So if you're a fan of TV, it's like it's a good time to be a fan of TV, and you should definitely just go look up all the new trailers for all the new shows because there's some cool stuff coming.
For sure. I mean, this is a good time for television unless you are a fan of the CW's The 100, which I just so happen to be a fan of. We also very soon after we released our last episode of Hype, the CW released their fall schedule for 2015. They were one of the last networks to do that. There's a lot of really interesting changes on this schedule, but I think the biggest thing was that they are not putting The 100 Season 3 on their fall schedule. They are moving it to the mid-season replacement slot, which is actually where Season 1 aired. And then for Season 2, they moved it to the fall. And I've gone through a lot of sort of, because you guys know, this is my favorite show. This is one of the only shows on television. It's self-contained. It's not a universe of stuff. And it's so good. It is such a good show. Oh, if you read Hypeable, you know I post about it all the time and I'm in love with it. So, and I've sort of come to terms with the fact that, yeah, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean anything necessarily. It doesn't mean anything for their filming schedule. It doesn't mean anything for their renewal chances, but I am kind of feeling like this is probably going to be the last season, especially because the CW is expanding their superhero network of shows, and they're expanding their Julie Plec empire. She's kind of like the Shonda Rhimes of the CW, you know? So it's kind of edging out shows like The 100 and Beauty and the Beast, which again, I didn't even know was on the air. So I'm sad about that. And I actually wrote an article about how to deal with the fact that you might be sad about it as well. So you should go check that out. And looking at their fall schedule in general, they've only got one new show in the fall season, which again shows that they are really banking on their existing shows. And that's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Then they have renewed The Flash. No, they've renewed iZombie is the one I was looking at. And just like The 100 season one, iZombie season one aired in the mid-season, and now the second season is going to air in the fall. So it's not going to be a long wait for fans of that show. I'm so angry at that show. I'm never watching it again. God. And then, I mean, I guess the other really big, interesting piece of news is that Thursday night is officially Julie Plec night, which...
finally.
The Vampire Diaries and the Originals airing after each other. And I remember when we were doing Vampire Hype, we were all three mm-hmm. of us were in Vampire Hype. We were so yep. annoyed when the Originals was like on a Tuesday and Vampire Diaries was on a Thursday and it was all messed up.
Yeah.
This is cool. This is
good. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons we stopped.
Like, Tuesday night, we'd have to wait until, like, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning uh-huh. to record something that came out Thursday.
Yes.
Like, it was ridiculous.
So they finally fixed that, at least.
I'm so happy about that. I'm really hoping that they take that to their advantage and, like, they have an episode of The Vampire Diaries that ends on this huge cliffhanger. Yeah. And then, like, Klaus has to deal with it in mm-hmm. New Orleans. Oh.
That would be a really good time to cross over Caroline, finally.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
Although they kind of forgot about that, but whatever. we'll get to Vampire Diaries a little later on in the show. But, yeah, so this was pretty big news. And, you know, along the same lines of that, Legends of Tomorrow is one of the shows that they're keeping for mid-season as well. And Julie Plec's Containment, so... cool stuff, except for the Vampire Diaries, for the 100 news, which sucks. But otherwise, cool stuff.
You know, well, you know what's awesome and also cool?
Tell me.
The ITV Peter Pan remake thing, movie, miniseries.
Yes, that is kind of awesome.
Okay, I have to say, a lot of people, like, initially when this news was announced, was like, are you kidding?
Another Peter Pan.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and I know, like, there's Peter Pan... has a lot, like, a lot. I think Peter Pan has one of the most, if not the most, remakes of any, like, story ever.
Yeah, Peter Pan and King Arthur and Robin Hood, I think, are all up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think I love Peter Pan. I love that story. I love the concept. I love everything about it. So I'm really stoked about this, particularly because the miniseries is going to have Stanley Tucci as Captain Hook, which I never really thought about before, but, like, seeing it,
yeah.
It's... I mean, Stanley Tucci is almost perfect for, like, any role, basically.
That's true.
It's going to be amazing. So it's a 2-hour drama called Peter and Wendy, and it's going to be airing on ITV, and it's going to be really great. And it's actually the twist here. Everyone's, like, curious about what the twist is. And so it's about this 12-year-old girl named Lucy who's in a hospital, and she's, like, she has this really bad heart condition. And the night before her operation, she has a dream about Peter Pan because she's been reading Peter Pan. And everyone in the hospital, kind of like Wizard of Oz style, is the characters in her Peter Pan dream.
Or kind of like the original Peter Pan, because the whole thing was that, you know, Mr. Darling was also Captain Hook. So there's that duality.
Exactly. I'm so
excited. You were
going to
go way darker with your theory.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, like in the original Peter Pan, like he was meant to guide souls.
Of I wasn't going to go the afterlife.
And I was going to be like, well, she dies. That would work too. I mean, you never know. I guess that is an option.
It is one interpretation.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah. You know what, though? But I'm like you, Kyle. I'm just like, you know what? Bring it. Just bring all the Peter Pan remakes. That's cool. Like, I'm actually good with them, just like you are. So, and that goes for, like, Robin Hood and King Arthur to an extent, too.
Plus, I feel like British TV does things way better than, like, American TV. Like, that's just my opinion. And I feel like they're going to rock it.
At least this show sounds really good.
Yeah.
I am interested, like, I saw in this article that Paloma Faith is going to be in it, too. And I only know her through her music. So I'm interested. Yes, I'm interested to see how she does in something that, for all intents and purposes, looks like a drama.
She's going to have a musical number. She's going to be like, in Neverland, this is where you never grow old. No, oh, that's not the right New York song.
Ooh, that is my new ringtone.
Perfect.
Too many, whatever. Yeah, you guys got what I was going for. It's cool. But yeah, no, Stanley Tucci does have a little bit of Dustin Hoffman. I think there could be like a resemblance there. I like that. Harking back to Hook, the best Peter Pan movie ever made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love that movie. So staying on topic of British television, oh, this bad news. Ugh, now I'm bummed out.
I know. It's, you know, Sherlock fans just can't get a break. And now Stephen Moffat has gone the route of J.K. Rowling with Order of the Phoenix and has delayed series 4 of Sherlock even later than it was already scheduled to be. So unfortunately for all of us who watch Sherlock, like I think most of us here, or all of us here on this show, we're not going to get series 4 until 2016, which is pretty much the gist of it. And the sad part about this is that this news came from Moffat himself, and he just kind of mentioned it, but didn't really say why it was being pushed back. So the only thing that we can think of is that Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman are just way too busy being cool kids on all the different movies that they've got lined up, including two for Marvel. Yeah, which of course is a time suck. So obviously, even though we're like, it's cool that they're so successful now, it kind of sucks for Sherlock fans. But I guess the only silver lining here is that we are supposedly going to get a Christmas special this year. Because we reported quite a while ago that they were in the midst of shooting a Christmas special of the show that was going to take place in Victorian London. So I guess we have that to look forward to, but no regular Sherlock TV episodes until 2016, sadly. Or even later, I don't know, because the whole thing is that they're going to start filming in spring of 2016. So we might not even get it till like...
At least it's the Christmas
January
special.
January 2017.
Yeah, I guess at least we have the Christmas special, but yeah, totally sucks all around.
Damn it, Marvel.
But like,
always.
It's really exciting to see
Marvel
them
for everything now.
Both be in Marvel things. Like, I just love that they're both now officially like in the Marvel universe as well. Like, they're everywhere.
I guess. I don't know. I'd much rather have three more episodes of Sherlock. Especially because I like watching Sherlock, but it's not like that exciting for me. You know, like I like watching it just like chilling out when I'm sick or whatever. Because it's such a chill show. Like it's so slow paced in a way, you know, in a good way. So I kind of just want that. I'm not that keen on them running off and trying to be big movie stars. What do they think they're doing? God, think of the fans.
I'm sure Sherlock makes you happy because there's only three episodes a season.
Exactly.
That's what I keep up with.
I love it. There's no spin-offs. There's no prequels. It's great.
Don't got to watch anything else except for Sherlock.
Yes, exactly. So, but you know what? We're going to end the news on a super positive note, which is one of the shows that I actually do watch and do keep up with, The Mindy Project. It was canceled by Fox last week, and we were all super sad. And then it was announced that Hulu would be picking it up. And not only are they picking it up, but they're picking it up for 26 episodes. And not only are they picking it up for 26 episodes, but What's-His-Face, who produces the show... something with B. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. He has promised that we will see him naked. So, that was a little bit scary, actually. Just makes you think what they can do with that show now that it's not on network. But, I mean, this is just great. I was speaking to Christina, who writes about the show on Hypeable, and she was not surprised at all. She was just like, well, we obviously saw this coming. Hulu was always going to do this. But, to be honest... Like, nothing was certain until it was announced because it must be insanely difficult to sort out all of the rights, contracts, and just all of the legal stuff. And it's the first show that Hulu has ever taken on as its own. Like, Netflix does it all the time, but for Hulu, this is brand new territory. So, really cool. And really cool that they're banking on this, like, cult hit that doesn't have that many viewers. You know what I mean? Like, this is just so cool.
I just think it means awesome things for just television in general. Cause this is like one of the first like major, like I know Community got picked up, right?
But yeah.
I
think
So this is only like the second major TV show that got canceled by a network to be picked up by an online streaming service, like, and I think
it's like cancellation isn't the end anymore.
Yeah, it's so funny because like this is going to mean great things for shows that have great potential, and everyone knows that has great potential, but, like, networks are idiots and they cancel shows anyway. It's going to mean great things for them, but it's also, like, now whenever any show's canceled, everyone's going to be like, oh, come on, like, Hulu, please, like, Netflix, please, like, someone pick it up.
Like, and I also, I love this,
because people like Hulu, or companies like Hulu, know that the show will gain viewers, because not everybody has time to watch these shows when they're airing. And so cancellation in that respect is just kind of like a bitter pill to swallow most of the time, especially for people like us. Like sometimes, like, I have shows, like, three different shows that are airing at the same time slot, and I have to pick and choose, like, which episode's going to be more intense and which one I need to watch first. So I love this. Like, many, many thumbs up to Hulu for picking it up. And I think that a lot of Mindy fans, like, I feel like a lot of people do the same thing we do, is that we have to stream things online because we don't have time to watch it, or work gets in the way, or school gets in the way. So this is fabulous.
And it's just like Mindy Kaling is just so brilliant and so funny and so original and so fresh. And I feel like on Hulu, she's going to be given a lot more freedom and just a lot more. And by the way, Ike Barinholtz is his name. I feel terrible for not remembering. But it's just seeing her sort of be given a chance to develop this amazing show even further. And obviously, you know, the Danny and Mindy thing is adorable. And I just can't wait. And, oh, it's the end of the news. I was like, why is nobody speaking? that wraps up the news on this happy note. We do want to just really quickly say this, another huge news story. David Lynch has signed on to Twin Peaks again, which is really good news, because he was obviously the original showrunner, and Twin Peaks coming back, basically the excitement stands and falls with whether he's actually in charge or not. So he kind of fell out contract negotiations. He's back in. Everything is great. Positive news. Hooray. And we just wanted to make sure we mentioned that. Moving on now to TV show of the week. I have nothing because I am failing at my at my job, basically. Luckily, Kyle has two. So maybe we'll start you off with one and then switch to Pam and switch back to you. We'll pretend one of them is me. No one will notice.
So I want to talk about Vampire Diaries again. I know last week I already talked about Vampire Diaries.
Okay, so the big episode has aired. None of us have watched it except you, because we failed.
So they did something that, like, completely blew my mind in the way that they had Nina exit the show, and no one saw it coming. It wasn't, like, I'll just straight up say, like, it wasn't death, and it wasn't compulsion, and it wasn't, like Anne Somerhalder is still in the show.
Did they
erase
her from time and space?
No, everyone still remembers who she is.
Okay,
it's amazing, and I think if you guys, like, you guys are probably really confused now because you're like, well, then how the heck did she
meet? I'm intrigued.
It's a really great twist. And really to see the season finale, you don't really necessarily, all you need to know about are who Kai is and who Bonnie is, and that's it. Like, that's all you need to know.
Perfect. I was just going to ask you if I could watch this standalone. I might watch the last two, though, because I hear that her state in the last episode, it kind of, like, continues on from the penultimate episode of this season.
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah. So I would watch just the first two episodes. That's it. Like, Lily's, like, Damon and Stefan's mom is back. That's all you need to know. Lily Salvatore, she was a ripper, and she had friends who were also vampire witches, which is a new thing that they introduced this season.
Of course they did.
Vampire werewolves and vampire witches. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, because vampires can't be witches, except now, like, anyway, it's fine.
They explain it, though.
Okay.
All right. And this is going to turn into a mini vampire hype if I don't stop talking, but yeah.
So we should do a special. Maybe me and Pam will watch it and we'll try to do a special. Maybe. We'll try.
That'd be great. Maybe, possibly. Don't get your hopes up. Maybe. But Pam, you saw The Flash, right? Okay.
Yes, ish. Yes.
So The Flash season finale airs this Tuesday. We're recording the Sunday before the season finale. And this show, I know we've waxed poetic about it before, but it's just been such a solid first season of this series. I'm sure Kyle can agree, because I believe you're watching it too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. And so like yeah, there's like pretty much like stuff is gonna go down, and I'm just kind of waiting. Like, I've been reading like all the interviews about like the actors, especially like Daniel Panabaker just had an interview with Entertainment Weekly saying that like we're gonna be saying some goodbyes. There might be some tears shed. So now I think we're all just kind of waiting with bated breath to see how it wraps up its first season. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
But I have to say, I'm really happy that the first season is ending with that scene where he, where he goes back and like we're gonna see him talk to his mom. Yes. Like that whole thing. I was really nervous that that plot line was going to last a couple of seasons, or like maybe even like series long, because like I don't know. It feels so much better to me to have them wrap that up and start a new arc next season than just wait.
And that's such something that's really cool about this show, because like you kind of alluded to this too, like the whole premise, the whole main villain situation was like a Flash versus the Reverse Flash, and now they're kind of making it seem like that might all be tied up by the end of this season. And that's really refreshing for a show, because like you said, it's very common for shows to have a villain that spans over a couple of seasons, especially when a show first gets started. So good on them for doing that, and it's definitely going to be interesting to see if they do tie up all those loose ends and then just move on to something else next season.
Super stoked.
Yeah.
And then Outlander is the second TV show that I wanted to talk about.
Everyone in the comments of the last show were like, oh, you're so going to talk about Outlander. It's amazing.
Well, they had this episode that aired last night, which I have not yet been able to see because I got home. I know.
How are you going to talk about it if you haven't seen it?
Okay, well,
I could talk about it.
The reason I'm talking about it is because it's already the penultimate episode and the finale airs next week, which is such a short span amount of span.
Short amount of spam.
It's such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
To have it just like premiered like a while ago. And now this is the end of season one, not season two. And season two comes back in spring of 2016. So fans are definitely taking in every episode and kind of like soaking it in. And next week we're going to get the finale, which is going to be really, really amazing. But sorry, it's not next week. It's in 2 weeks. I know that book lovers and show lovers are really excited about last night's episode, because Captain Jack Randall did some really brutal things.
This is definitely the story arc that fans of the book have been waiting for, and I think it's the one that left people that did not know what was going on, like going to happen, with their jaws dropped for sure. So it was definitely intense.
Yeah, Laura has a really good article up on Hypeable, which you should definitely check out if you want to read a really good interpretation of why those scenes were so good, because it was a lot of violence, and it was very, you know, I sort of think of it a lot like what happened to Theon in Game of Thrones. I was going to say Game of Owns. That's a podcast. It's different. It was a very sort of very, very uncomfortable, I think, for people to watch. But she just made some really good points about how it was not at all gratuitous, which is what made it so good. It wasn't, like, glorified, you know? So really, really strong. So definitely watch with caution if you're squeamish. But cool. Yeah, great. I'm glad that they did it justice.
Yeah, they did. And also, to be honest with you guys, it's been a really long time since I've read the book. Like, I've read the books maybe, like, almost 10 years ago. So it's been a while. So sometimes I go into these episodes and I kind of have an idea for what's going down, and then some tiny little thing in the beginning triggers it. I'm like, oh yes, this is the part where this happens. So I can't exactly recall how things are going to go down next episode for sure. But I was reading on Twitter from one of my friends that covers the show, and she's like a huge fan and has read the book multiple times. She was kind of cautioning her fans that, like, if you think this episode was bad, like, next week's episode's going to be like equally as intense, if not more. So that's kind of a bit of a cautionary note for all of you guys that found this last week's episode squeamish. So
cool.
Yeah.
So good stuff on television. I'm glad we still have stuff to talk about, even though most of the network shows are going off the air right around now. Now, next up is our Hot on Hypeable segment. Usually we have Marima around to do that. She was a wonderful human being and prepared the articles for us, so we have a list to go through. Not going to try her accent, but I will just say, yeah, I did it again for you weirdos, this time with commentary. Now she can laugh at me, because I tried. It's the super fun new movies edition. We have a Mad Max Fury Road, a couple of articles about that movie that just came out this week as well. There's everything you need to know about Mad Max before seeing Fury Road, and the craziest death machines and destruction from Mad Max past and present, Marima writes, because these movies aren't just about terrible Australian accents, like mine. Things blow up too. Actually, everything blows up. Then there's Pitch Perfect 2, ranking all of the Pitch Perfect 2 performances. Spoiler alert, the Bellas weren't actually the best, but they still take our number one spot because the bad guys can't be the winners. Also, the bad guys are Germans, and historically, they don't, you know, win. Thanks, Marima. That was nice. 10 Pitch Perfect 2 cameos to watch out for is also a really cool feature. Apparently, even Obama managed to squeeze a cameo in, so that's awesome. I didn't even know that. And there's 31 times Anna Kendrick was extremely relatable on Twitter, where Anna Kendrick proves once again that she is the best of us. Ugh, you know Anna Kendrick, I love her, but she was on the talk show the other day, and she was like, yeah, you know, it's so annoying, I'm eating healthy, and I can't just eat, like, tacos whenever I want, and I was like, yeah, right.
She's, like, 5'2", and like, tiny, but, you know, I will say that she is, like, one of the best sports in the industry,
She's so funny and quirky that I was reading this article, I think it was the New York Times that interviewed her, don't quote me on that. But they were talking about, like, all these random things that people have made her do. Like, Mary Claire asked if she would do the interview drunk, and she was like, yeah, sure, why not? And, like, somebody else asked if she would do it, like, while taking, like, pictures on a trapeze, and she was like, yeah, okay. And so this interview that I was, like, reading with her, they asked her if she would respond to her answers with song lyrics.
Okay.
And so she did. So, like, they said, like, they asked her questions, like, oh, like, what do you think about, like, all these sequels are coming out? Don't you think Hollywood should do original things? And she quoted Kendrick Lamar, and she said, bitch, don't kill my vibe. So, like, she did, like, this, like, this tiny little stand of the interview just with, just little.
Oh, yeah, she's just a perfect person. That's why it's so annoying. But it's so great.
But yeah, I definitely commend her for her press junket game, for sure, because she's definitely kept things interesting.
For sure, yeah. So some features up on the site about Marvel, of course, because that's an ongoing thing. So we have an exclusive interview with Elizabeth Henstridge, where she broke down that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale that happened last week. Surprisingly, this interview wasn't just Mikhail yelling, why, at a terrified and apologetic actor. That was a Marima's comment there. So Mikhail was very, very, very upset about the finale, and she did a great job, very professional with this interview.
You know what's amazing is that, like, that finale was like astounding, and everything, most of the finale was just like, yay, 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 awesome, okay, cool. And then the final shot was the only thing that was just like, and then Mikhail's like, no!
Yes, it's another show I feel like I should be watching.
You should. And, like, especially for people who are worried that, like, the show is going to spoil movies, like Marvel movies, for you, it doesn't. Like, I saw the episode that took place, like, the plot line wise, it took place after the events of Age of Ultron. And literally all they did was they talked about Sokovia, and they talked, and there's news footage of, like, Sokovia. And
Right. Okay. Well,
that's it.
That's boring. I wish it tied in more. But anyway, our final article of the week on Hypeable was... this is our old writer, Harry, who's luckily still doing stuff for us because he's fantastic. He went with me to the Harry Potter studio tour back in 2012, so it's fun to see him still around. And he made this article, How to Write Every Marvel Movie Ever, and he basically breaks down their most cliche sort of storyline developments. it's an amazing article. It's very insightful. It's very it's obviously skewed for humor. The comment section, in Merriam's words, proves that no one on the internet has a sense of humor, because it's, we do these articles sometimes where we poke fun at big fandoms, and you know, people are not finding them so amusing. But if you do, you know, have it in your heart to take this with, you know, a light heart, then do check it out, because it is a very, very good article, very funny, whether or not you agree with his interpretation of the movies. And I just want to add in, Merriam didn't put this on the list, but Caitlin wrote an article about Supergirl, saying Supergirl is the female-driven superhero show we need. Very, very good article, and sort of takes some of the criticism and challenges it in a really good way. So definitely check that out. Those are all on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. All right, it is time for listener feedback. Woo! We have listener feedback this week. Kyle, do you want to get the first one?
Absolutely. So the first piece of feedback we have is from Mash Elizabeth. I don't know if I'm saying your name right, and you've been a listener for
my
years.
Elizabeth.
My Elizabeth.
Yes.
Okay, see, like, I've
She's
known her for
years. She's
my
almost countryman woman.
I can't, like, okay. All right, well, she says, every time I remember that Supergirl synopsis, I think of Not Another Teen Movies. Oh, she's got glasses and a ponytail.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I agree.
That was very awkward. And Danya also tweeted us, and she said, we were talking about last week about doing a Eurovision special, and she gives a glowing endorsement and says, it's like all my dreams are coming true. I love Eurovision. And we're hopefully going to have Danya on that special episode. So, woo, she's becoming our special, special guest. Our final Twitter comment, do you want to get that, Pam?
Of course. So we have, well, not the one from Danya, right? The one from Michael?
Yeah, I just... Okay. You could do Danya again, but that might be a bit overkill.
I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page here.
So, Michael, who also has a very awesome and hard to pronounce last name, so I'm not even going to try to say it, says, I would love to know what you guys think of the new Mad Max film and the ridiculous controversy surrounding it. And I'm just going to jump in and say that I have not seen Mad Max, but I'm actually going to go tonight. So get back to me next week, maybe. And, yeah, and I'll have more thoughts on it.
Obviously, the controversy that he's talking about is there's this group of anti-feminists or men's rights activists or whatever they're calling themselves. They're boycotting this movie because they're, you know, there's a really strong woman in this movie, and they're calling it like feminist propaganda, and they're saying it's so horrible because women cannot be stronger than men. I would just like to interject that I'm stronger than several men in my life, so it's not a gender thing, guys. Not always,
it's true.
Anyway. But, I mean, it's funny because I had absolutely no interest in watching this movie because I don't know anything about it. After this controversy, I'm going to watch it for sure. Like, I want to see what they're talked about, and I'm probably going to love it. So I think it's, yeah, as Michael said himself, it's ridiculous. That's all it is. Our final comment, Kyle, can you get that? No, it's not our final comment. God, could you get our second to last comment?
Second, yes. Allison L. says from hypable.com, hype is one of the things I look forward to most every week.
Aww.
You? Aw, stop.
Aw, you.
It always makes my day when a show's up on Hypable. I have a quick summer show recommendation. With so many shows finishing up, the show's called Poldark. Poldark?
Poldark.
Poldark. It has already finished airing on BBC One overseas and is set to air in the States in June. It is a great series with rich storylines, especially for anyone who loves period dramas. Yes, because it's set in the 18th century Cornwall. The acting is so strong with Aidan Turner and Eleanor Tomlinson
Keely
as leads, but the whole cast is incredible, and the cinematography is stunning. I feel like I go on forever, but I hope this makes some people want to tune in. Added bonus is that it made me want to go back to the books by Winston Graham, and I love an opportunity to add to my reading list.
I'm so annoyed because I really want to watch this, and it's just another thing that's going to get on my list.
I saw gifs of it on Tumblr, like, constantly, and the first thing that got me was it was the guy from Being Human.
Yeah, and from The Hobbit.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, I have to see this. So I'm adding it onto my list.
Yes, for sure. Are you going to watch it, Pam?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think she totally sold it, and I am always looking for new shows to watch, even though I have enough.
I'm not.
But I can't resist new things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Or rewatching things. Like, there are a couple of, like, I was browsing Netflix the other day, and I was like, oh oh my God, there's shows here from my childhood that I really want to rewatch, but I need to catch up on X, Y, and Z. So it's a constant struggle.
I know.
For sure.
But, I'm rewatching Buffy and Angel right now for like the 600th time, and there's so much new stuff.
So see, those are justifiable. I started rewatching the Babysitter's Club TV show.
What?
That's worse.
That's a thing. Don't judge me. That's
bad. Okay. No judgment.
But that's cool.
It's so bad, but it's so good.
But thanks for your comment, Allison. We always, every week, we look forward to your comments. So the love is mutual. And there was a long discussion on our Hypeable comment thread about Paul Dark, and it moved into talking about some other shows, and it was really great. And our final comment comes from Hannah. And she says, I came looking for Merrim's other music recommendation. She mentioned a single had been released from an upcoming album. Just can't remember what band. Help. I wasn't sure what she was talking about. I asked Merrim. Merrim said the only band she recommended was the Wombats, who did... I'm just going to look it up real quickly. It was something sparkly... The Glitterbugs. There you go. Something with sparkles. So maybe it was that. You might also be thinking of my music recommendation, which was of Monsters and Men. They are releasing a new album in June, and three songs are up on iTunes that you can get right now. They're really good. So I hope that answers your question, Hannah. Otherwise, feel free to write into us again. We'll see what we can do. And... anyone else who has questions for us or comments or things they want to bring up that you think we should talk about or recommendations for us, then please write to us. You can either go on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com, and find the post for the most recent episode, or you can find us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/hypeablehype. Next week is the Eurovision.
Yes.
So yes. we're not going to be recording another episode of Hype for another week and a half, because we're kind of, this is Sunday, we usually record on Wednesday, so it's going to be a bit of a longer wait, but we will be recording a Hype special for Eurovision, so you have that to look forward to if you're crazy like we are. That's going to be fun. Super excited. I'm so glad you're watching it too, Kyle.
I watch it via Tumblr.
Do you?
Ever since Tumblr became a thing, it's like it's the event that I look forward to every year.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so stupid. It's so hilarious.
I haven't figured out how to live stream it yet, but I feel like I watch most of it via GIF.
I have.
You know what I mean?
I'll share with you off air.
Fabulous. Okay.
My total legal secrets.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys. but yeah, so that'll be fun. We'll get hopefully Merrim will be on, and Danya will be on, and you guys. I mean, we'll put a panel together, and it'll be really fun. And there's also, of course, that movie that's coming out on Friday. What is it? Oh, Tomorrowland. That's right.
Yes.
My memory is still working, kind of.
That's probably going to be one of the movies that I watch right when I the premiere.
So you can talk about that when we get back to you guys in a week and a half. And we hope you guys are enjoying the show. Make sure to leave us your feedback on how you think it's going. If you have time, go on iTunes to leave us a review and rate us and help other people discover us. That is everything for this week. My name is Selena.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Pamela.
Goodbye, guys. We made
Bye.
It.
Bye.
's eating?
Me. I'm finishing up my oatmeal. Okay. Sorry.
That's cool.
You're making me so hungry right now.
Sorry.
Me too. We had a homemade pizza in the oven, and I was supposed to eat it before we started, but then we took it out and the paper had fused to the bread.
No.
So it's all ruined. So I'm hungry, but it'll be fine.
That sucks.
Are you guys going to order pizza now?
No, I think we're going to try to put it on like some other bread. Don't judge us.
Okay.
That'll be interesting.
I know. Sounds so gross when you say it.
I kind of, you know what? I'm not even going to judge you. That kind of sounds like an ingenious plan.
Right?
Like, why waste a perfectly good pizza? This is me trying my mute button. I'm not sure if it's working.
It's not working.
It's probably not working.
It's not working.
Damn it.
Definitely.
Wait. Let me try one more time.